held this evening, Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021 at 6 p.m. Via Zoom. We will open the meeting for a moment for public comment. If we have anyone online who would like to offer any public comment before we get into the rest of our agenda. I'm not seeing anyone other than members of the commission and city staff. Well, seeing none, we'll close that part of the meeting and move on to item number 3, which is approval of minutes from the January 26, 2021 Planning Commission meeting. Any comments or questions about those minutes?
I move that we approve the minutes.
I'll second that motion.
All right, hearing a motion and second, and seeing no further questions or discussions, we'll do a roll call. Lorianne?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
And I'm thinking Don, Tyler, and myself. Oh no, John's here.
We've got Jared and Catherine are coming into the meeting right now.
Okay. So then our voting members for tonight will be myself, Lorianne, Steve, John, and did you say Jared was coming in?
Jared's here, yes.
Okay. All right, let me try a roll call again. And Jared and John, I think you just joined us. Any questions or comments on the minutes from the January Planning Commission meeting?
No, I have nothing.
Okay.
I didn't have any.
All right. Then we have a motion and a second on the floor. We'll go ahead then and take roll call again. All those in favor, Lorianne?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Jared?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
And I'm in favor, so all unanimous. All right, we'll move on to our next item, number 4, review, recommendation, and a public hearing on amendments to City Code Title 10, Chapter 5, related to easements and accessory structures. And what I think we'll do, we'll turn this over to staff to talk about this. We'll have we'll open for a brief public hearing and then time for questions and comments. So Chandler, I'm guessing, or Jenny?
Jenny will be presenting.
Okay.
So I'm gonna do a little brief background on the proposed language that we're proposing tonight. It will be located in supplementary standards. So back on February 23rd at a planning commission, we request a discussion to the planning commissioners to address recorded and dedicated public easements, especially as these relate to permanent structures or accessory structures. When a resident comes in and applies for an installation or a building permit per se, it's reviewed by zoning. At that time, zoning will look at a number of issues at the property and where they have on their site plan where their proposed structure is located. Many times an easement will be on the property, and so it does prohibit property owners from placing them in the desired location, and they don't understand it, so they'll come back, and we don't have a lot of language that addresses the easements here. Again, during this discussion, it was expressed that we should have some type of disclosure for residents as they look to construct something on their property. We have placed this on our city website, and tonight we're proposing to include city code for this. These easement code was taken from various, and they were very similar in nature from quite a few different cities. We did change a couple of things on that, the language on that. If you want to look, Chandler, can you put that up on the screen?
The language?
Yeah, the language.
Yeah, give me just a second.
Okay. So on this, we did take a couple of items and alter them a little bit. It's very minimal in the way that we altered it.
You should just start reading it. I'm going to be just a quick second.
Okay. So under 10-5-40, it says that no dwelling, primary dwelling, or permanent structures. So in previous codes, it used to be the main dwelling or main building, and the other one was accessory structures. Well, the language here didn't allow for structures such as retaining walls or other type of structures that may have similar problems regarding easement. So we just wanted to clear that up where it does affect Cedar Hills and some different items that we have addressed in the past. The other thing is that we wanted to include a definition here in Title 10-2-1 that has an easement definition. So basically what we've done is the terms defined under 10-2-1 is easement, a present or future right of use under, on, or above the surface of a property by a person other than the legal owner of the property. And then the supplementary standards, which is a similar place where other cities have placed this, we placed it under 10-5-40 because it has its own section of code for that. No dwelling, primary building, or permanent structure shall be located within a recorded easement area unless the property owner either produces evidence satisfactory to the zoning administrator that the easement has been abandoned or executes a recordable document in a form approved by the city attorney indicating that notwithstanding apparent abandonment of the easement, the structure may be subject to superior interest of the easement holder and may be required to be relocated at the property owner's expense to accommodate such interest. There is a location. Any structure in the easement area shall be located pursuant to the setback and other applicable requirements of this title. No expansion of legal rights. Nothing in a section is intended to expand or restrict the rights or obligations of any party to any recorded easements. So we're not changing any use of the easement. We're just simply adding clarification. So we believe that by doing this, it will help assist property owners when they look to build on their property, that they will understand or have a better understanding that there may be an easement there that may prohibit them from putting in the location that would be different for example, what an accessory structure would be 5 feet to a property line, say if an easement was 10 feet. So it would just clarify that up for the property owner. And so staff is...
Thanks, Jenny. Anything else, Jenny, on that?
No, this is the proposed language that we would like to bring to our planning commission.
Okay. And for a moment, we did notice this as a public hearing. So we'll open up to the public. If there's anyone here that would like to comment on this particular item in our agenda, we'd be happy to hear from you at this time.
Not seeing anybody, Chairman.
Okay. Then we'll move on to commissioners. Questions, comments on this proposed language?
I have a question. So I'm focusing now on the language that says notwithstanding apparent abandonment of the easement. So that's towards the end of that first full paragraph. Is it the intent that a homeowner would be allowed to build on top of an easement only if it's been abandoned?
No. Sorry, Jenny, I'll take this one.
No, that's okay.
I think the key word there is apparent. I think to a lot of people, they may understand that there's an easement in their property somewhere, but due to the fact that they don't see any infrastructure protruding from the ground, there may be the notion that, oh, this is not used or this is abandoned. If it's an abandoned easement, then to my best knowledge, is no such easement exists any longer. This would have to be just the apparent abandonment of an easement rather than the actual abandonment. So they would have to demonstrate that the easement's been abandoned through the recorded abandonment by all interested parties.
So here's my question then, I guess. When we first discussed this, I was under the impression that under certain scenarios, a homeowner may be able to build on an easement that A, was not being used.
Yep.
So it had nothing under it.
Yep.
Which would not necessarily have been abandoned.
No, it's not.
Or B,
and that's the intent of this code still.
What about the situation where there is something in the easement, but the utility company signs off on it?
Well, then I think that's a little bit different. Let's say then that there's an existing, I'll use a sewer line. Let's say there's an existing sewer line going through the easement. They would need to get a clearance, basically. This document that we're talking about, the city attorney preparing, signed by the city and by, you know, Rocky Mountain Power, Dominion Energy, anybody that has a vested interest in his easement, stating that they're okay with the structure being placed in the easement. But those documents all say that the property owner carries the risk here. That let's say that sewer line that they're building on collapses and fails. Well, the city then has the right, the obligation to go in and rectify that situation. But the city doesn't have, and they have the city has the responsibility of restoring landscaping, irrigation, minor things, a cement pad maybe. But if they've gone ahead and put a carport over that sewer line, the city doesn't have the obligation to restore the carport.
And that's, and I agree with all of that. That's my understanding as well, Chad. As a side note, I just negotiated such an agreement with UDOT this week regarding a storm drain, right? I mean, it happened all the time.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm getting thrown off by that language, because that would appear to me that there has to be some appearance, either actual or not, of abandonment. And so that language seems confusing to me and maybe potentially ambiguous.
How would you prefer to reword that?
I think that it would serve the same purpose if you took that notwithstanding apparent abandonment of the easement out. I don't think that adds anything to what you just described as the intention.
Okay. Because the intention here is that, you know, we have many easements throughout the city that, quite frankly, are not being used and likely never will be used. But property owners want to access the full use of their property. And so this, I think, gives them a vehicle whereby they can apply for the use of that public utility easement, understanding that they're doing so at their own risk. And maybe we can strike that little clause beginning and indicating all the way to that first time they say easement, abandonment of the easement.
No, I think indicating that the structure may be subject to the superior interest of the easement holder.
Okay. Wait. Indicating that the structure may be subject. Okay. Yes, I see what you're saying. That's. I'm okay with that language.
Dad, I had a question about this. In that, in the next document we were looking at 4B, that. So the difference between the utility company needing to restore shrubbery or a fence or whatever, but risk, you know, the homeowner bears the risk of damage. So I'm just confused in that improvements, are those other than landscaping and a fence and such, is that like putting a carport on an easement or a building?
Yeah.
What is the difference? Because to me, it seems like,
well, the difference is to me the city has to be able to retain the ability to provide services, and the easements are there to allow the city to provide those services. If you're planting shrubbery, like this is from the Utah State Code right here that's on your screen right now. Let me make this a little bit larger. Don't mind. So where it says that, notwithstanding subsection 3, a public utility shall restore or repair at the expense of the public utility fence, grass, soil, shrubbery, bushes, flowers, other low-level vegetation. And you see that these are all minor improvements to the land that ultimately would not cause major disruption if there was an immediate need to get into an easement. However, a carport, maybe a large utility shed, would. That would present quite an obstacle. So that's why, and if you place those in the easement, that's why that risk is borne by the property owner.
You're muted. There you go.
I understand that, but I just didn't know the language between, you know, all this to repair and restore, but they don't replace improvements such as those large structures. Yes. But they would replace a concrete pad.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was my question.
So how I describe it when somebody wants to know the difference, what this is, a permanent structure is completely different than any of these items listed here. That means it cannot be moved. It is there. And the carport such as that, or a utility shed over 120 square feet, those are all considered permanent structures.
That was what I understand that. I just didn't know if places improvements meant permanent structures. So okay. That confused me.
Okay.
I was just wondering on the word form, in a form approved by the city attorney. So the way you guys are just talking, this will actually be an actual form.
Yes.
Is there, I can just see people reading that meaning in a manner approved. So I guess, I mean, is that like, is there a way to specify
we can
that
change
it's an
the
actual
name
form?
That to application or
yeah, maybe
template.
Application. Yeah, I think that might work better just because a form, I could see people misinterpreting that.
Yeah, it's ambiguous. It could be either way.
Okay. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. The attorney, as we speak, is currently preparing that, so we're getting ready to have that on file. So we'll change that to, I think, application is probably the clearest way to say that.
Okay. Instead of document, Chandler?
It says instead of form, it says in a form.
Okay. In document.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think my form was good. Jeannie just did it for me.
So on the wording that John talked about, and I can't scroll up to it, the apparent abandonment, how about use or neglect or something like that, like an unused easement or something like apparent disuse or unused easement or something like that does not mean that it's abandoned. So just to clarify it that way, like just because it doesn't look like it's being used doesn't mean it's not still there. I think there might be a better way to say that rather than apparent abandonment, just that, you know, lack of development or use or exercise of that easement does not mean that it's abandoned in some way.
I think that we can probably put something in there that says that. I would probably, and going back to Jared's comment, I would probably add it as a sentence later in the clause, just saying that the apparent lack of apparent use or maintenance does not constitute abandonment of any easement.
I like it.
Whether it's been abandoned or not is a legal determination. It's going to require.
They really wouldn't have much to say based on this sentence, though.
And then going to Lorianne's point, structure is defined elsewhere, right? So kind of what Jeannie and she were saying, so it does say any structure in the easement, so I think that's defined elsewhere. So I mean, it's kind of, yeah, so that's pretty defined for what it is.
So I think I'm hearing at least two changes to the language. One is to replace the word form with application, And the other that I heard earlier was to strike out the phrase, notwithstanding apparent abandonment of the easement. Are we modifying that second change, or are those the two changes? I'm trying to get ready for somebody to make a motion.
I think there was also the suggestion by Chandler that we add language regarding the apparent abandonment or what.
I wrote something I can share with you based on Steve's comment. And going back to Jared's point, this is already superseded by state code and regulation of easements, but it's language nonetheless that would probably clarify everything further. What I have is lack of maintenance or the appearance of abandonment does not constitute abandonment of an easement.
Will that be item C perhaps below?
It can be.
Okay.
But like I said, this is already guided by state code elsewhere. So it's, to me, it's not critical, but it does put language there that they don't need to go searching for elsewhere.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Chandler, would you mind repeating that?
I wrote it down, but I can give it to share with you.
Okay.
I say lack of maintenance or the appearance of abandonment does not constitute abandonment of any easement. I'd probably tweak that a little bit, but that's the general idea of what we would say.
Okay, hearing no other questions or comments, I'll entertain a motion. I'll go ahead and make a motion. I think I'm allowed to do that as chair.
Why not?
All right. Well, I move that we recommend the proposed amendments to City Code 10-2-1 and include 10-5-40 in the supplementary standards section of Title 10-5 relating to easements as presented by staff with the changes that we just discussed, including changing the word form to application, to removing the phrase, notwithstanding apparent abandonment of the easement, and then adding either at the end of the open paragraph or as item C below, the sentence just read to us on record by Chandler Goodwin.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and second on the floor. Any additional questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call. Jared?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Lorianne?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Motion carries unanimously.
Jeff, can I interrupt just for a second? Was that Commissioner Thomas that seconded that motion?
Yes.
Yes, Matt.
Okay, thank you.
Was that you, Steve, or was that John?
It was me.
Okay, there you go. All right, we'll move on then to item 5, which is review recommendation on a final plat approval for Lakeshore Trail Subdivision Plat C. And we'll turn over to either Jenny or Chandler.
All right, I'm taking this one. This is a clerical item. Let me pull open. You remember last month we did the Lakeshore Trails amendment where we took, there were three lots and the owners bought the lot in between them and they, I don't know how to rotate this, but they basically, they're creating two lots out of the three lots. They're taking that third lot and splitting it between the two of them. This was noticed as Lakeshore Trails amended plat B right here, when in fact it's actually Lakeshore Trails plat C. The Planning Commission and the City Council have already approved this, but due to the clerical error, we wanted to do this one more time just for the city records so that there's no confusion, you know, years down the road when people have questions about how this was approved, so it doesn't get confused with the actual Lakeshore Trails plat B.
This was not noticed as public hearing, assuming it doesn't need
to be. This is not. We spoke with the attorney. This one just needed to be redone on a new motion by the Planning Commission and the City Council.
Okay. Any questions or comments on this item? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
This is John D. I'll move that we recommend the preliminary and final plat amendment for Lakeshore Trails Plat C to the City Council.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
From Steve, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I will call roll. Jared?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Loria?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
And I vote aye as well. Voting to unanimous. And that are all. Those are all the items on our agenda. I'll hear a final motion.
I move that we adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor, Jared?
Aye.
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 Lorianne?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
And I vote aye. Thanks, everybody. I don't know if we've made a record, but
we're close. Good work.